Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
Scotland's calling
from a faraway town
with visions of the Silver Jews
and Purple Mountain's majesty.
All right, Sunday morning coming down.
Yeah, man.
Patrick.
Yeah.
For me, at least. as we record this on a in the basement here on a Sunday morning, went to see the Rockin' Tours last
yes.
night.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Had a good night.
Very cool.
And was it the Anthem? I told you off mic the sound quality was not the best mm-hmm. in that venue. Mm-hmm. I think they struggle with it because it's so huge.
It's a large place.
But it was a fun time and a And as I read this morning, apparently a really fun night for Jack White because he went to the Nationals game before the show, left in the third inning, played the show at the Anthem, then finds out that the Nationals were still playing because it went into extra innings. It was a 14-inning game, I think, or
crazy.
Something like that. They were still playing, so he went back to the game.
Against the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes. How crazy
that's
is that?
That's awesome, man. I love that story so much. It's so good.
It's not like the old days, is it? Where
no.
they would party with, you know, groupies and drugs.
No,
and,
it isn't.
You know,
it
now
isn't.
Like, hey, the ball game's still on? Let's go.
I know.
Send back over. Get some, you know, a few more innings.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this, too. I was thinking about this on the way out here, Jim. Sunday morning, for me, was always kind of like a good musical test for music. Like, if you were listening to something on Saturday night, and it was like, you know, you were kind of partying, and it was kind of raucous, and it was sounding really great, and you loved it. That was cool. But then if you put it on again on Sunday morning when your mind's still a little scrambled and it still sounded good, that to me was always a good test. So
oh,
I always like to listen to the stuff I was listening to on Saturday night just to confirm that it was actually good. Of course, nowadays you wake up and you're like, what was the Spotify playlist I made last
well,
night? And why did it have 4 Miley Cyrus songs on it or something like that?
For me, it's like, why was I texting my friend Tom about Cheers last night? What was what's going on? I mean, that's a true story. That's what I was doing. I don't know. Anyway,
had a hot take on Cheers
I
at
did.
1 o'clock in the morning.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens.
Believe me, I can talk Cheers with the best of them. And that was what was going on last night, apparently. I don't know. But it was fun. It's always fun going out. And I got to spend some time with my friend Bill Horn.
All right.
We had a good time.
Love Bill Horn.
His lovely wife, Kathy. So
great people.
All right. So this is, as we record this, it's Sunday morning. You're listening to this. It should be on a Monday.
That's right.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And as I mentioned, we're in the suburban basement and we're talking music.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I want to mention to the listeners, I want to thank them for all their support. Our show now shows up pretty prominently on the what was called iTunes.
Oh,
now it's Apple Podcast.
That's fantastic.
I mean,
hope they fixed the algorithm because we weren't playing that game.
I think that's what it was.
We weren't playing that game.
Yeah. So, they did a thing where that now that podcasts they have like subcategories, I think because, you know, it was getting too massive.
Right.
And so if you go to music, we're now listed as music interviews.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Which was...
We'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we come in on the first page on that.
Oh, cool.
So that
was
nice. So thanks to everyone who listens and hopefully more people will find it.
Right.
If they're looking for music interviews.
Or our check's finally cleared, one of the two.
Maybe that's it.
I'm not sure what it is.
This particular episode is not really an interview, but
no.
But we do, I think it fits because we do have other voices on the show so often, and
yes.
That's what we're going to do today here. We have a couple of audio files sent to us from Scotland, from Stephen Routledge, regular listener and contributor to the show.
He is fantastic and just so thankful for his musical knowledge, curiosity, and willingness to share his thoughts with us. It really means a lot.
Yes. So once a month, he sends us an audio file of new music he's been listening to,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just going to press play on that right now.
Yep.
Greetings, Jim and Patrick. It's Stephen Routledge here, reporting in from Scotland with my new music picks for July. Before I got onto them, though, you've asked for some gig reports, and I was fortunate enough to get to 2 gigs in the last week. On Saturday, the 27th of July, I went to see Jenny Lewis in Edinburgh, and on Tuesday this week, that being the 30th, I saw Teenage Fan Club in Glasgow. It was the first time to see Jenny Lewis. And it was a rare treat because it was a gig that I could go to with my wife. Quite a lot of the stuff that I like doesn't really work for her. But Jenny Lewis was a popular one with her, so we both got to go to that. We got a great spot not far from the front. And the venue was unusual in that it's an old church with the pews still in place around the back and the sides at the venue, as well as upstairs. The main floor, however, was clear for standing, which was where we were. And the old church seemed quite an appropriate setting, as it very much felt like Jenny was communing with her faithful flock. The crowd were very enthusiastic, and Miss Lewis herself was in fine voice, great set list. Only the title track from her most recent album was an omission that I'd like to have heard. I was struck by the fact that she has quite a quirky charisma that draws the audience to her, a sense of otherworldliness with a hint that she could be just a little bit crazy. Very enjoyable show. She can certainly write a good tune, and she can certainly sing a good tune as well. In contrast to it being the first time to see Jenny Lewis, Teenage Fan Club was the 15th time I've seen them. And crucially, it was the first time since co-founder and one-third of the songwriting team, Jerry Love, had left. The venue was also unusual, as it was a restored Victorian bandstand, and it's part of a series of outdoor concerts that run for a fortnight each year in Glasgow. This year it also included Burt Bacharach, Suede, see previous calls, The National, who I did want to go and see, but they sold out within minutes, despite the fact they were doing two nights. Patti Smith, Father John Misty, Echo and the Bunnymen, and more. So obviously lots of acts there that would appeal to the Rocking the Suburbs listeners, but the Fannies will always take priority for me. And given any outdoor event in the west of Scotland is at risk of rain, it was unsurprising that the Heavens opened as a support act. Side note on that, the support band was one Niall Marr, son of Johnny. He used to play in a little band that some of the listeners may have heard of. Anyway, he was pretty good, had a few good tunes, certainly a family resemblance to his dad, and he also was playing Fender Jazzmasters as well as a Telecaster, so some things do run in the family. I wonder if perhaps they were handed down from his old man. Anyway, carrying on, it was proper rain coming down, you know, bouncing back up off the floor, proper rods, as we'd call it here in Scotland. Unfortunately, it dried up by the time the Fannies came out. So now they've obviously decided to not to play any of Jerry's tunes since he's left the band, which is a bit of a shame because songs like Star Sign and Sparky's Dream and many others are just too good to leave out. On the positive side, though, there was a couple of deep cuts. They did God Knows It's True from their debut, and also pulled out their cover of Neil Young's Don't Cry No Tears during the encore, which was a real treat to get that. The gig itself was quite a sedate start, the crowd all being pretty wet, no doubt contributing to that. But once they launched into Alcoholiday, the crowd surged, and from then until the end it was the usual sort of Teenage Fan Club joy fest, and singing along. Got some new songs as well, three new tracks, and sounded pretty good, so look forward to see what they do next. It was good to get both Verisimilitude and Your Love Is the Place Where I Come From, Raymond's two best songs, and both of them are particular favourites of mine. But I couldn't help but feeling afterwards that whilst the band is different, it is also less without Jerry. Of my top 25 Teenage Fan Club songs, only three of that top 25 are Raymond tracks. The aforementioned two that I just talked about, and also Hold On from their top-notch most recent album here from a couple of years back. Despite these disappointments, I'll still go and see them on every tour. And given that Everything Flows is my favourite song of all time, and it has been since I first heard it, I'll go to hear them just to close the set with that, because it never fails to move me. So on to my new music picks, and I must start with an apology. I discovered this first track in the first week of July, but it was actually released in the last few days of June. So sorry for missing it last month, I felt obliged to include it here. The song in question is Margaritas at the Mall by Purple Mountains. When I heard it, I felt sure that the voice was familiar. And sure enough, it's the new project from former Silver Jews man David Berman. A bit more upbeat, perhaps, than the Silver Jews work, but it's all relative, really. A really good song, though, and I hope you and the listeners will agree. On to songs actually released in July, and yet again we start with something heavy. This is the second single from the upcoming album Atonement by the Massachusetts metalcore masters Killswitch Engage. The song is called I Am Broken Too. It's short, punchy and melodic. What more could you ask for? I was fortunate enough to see them open for Iron Maiden last year in London, and they were excellent. They were even joined on stage by former vocalist Howard Jones, who sang The End of Heartache, whilst the current and original frontman Jesse Leach did backup. They were excellent live, and their debut, Alive or Just Breathing, is a real classic. Next up is The Velvet Fog, from the self-titled debut by a band called The Soft Cavalry. Whilst the album as a whole evokes My Morning Jacket in a lot of places, this track has a more sort of film noirish feel that I love. It's got a pulpy, widescreen sort of Britpop sound to this, I think, and maybe even a touch of John Barry in the chorus. A perennial favourite of mine is Josh Rouse, and his new single, I Miss You, is my next choice. He has such a great way with melody, and I love the way he confounded my expectations with his lyrics by quoting a very famous song title with the first line of each verse before then putting a different spin on it. When you first heard it, you think, oh, that's not particularly original line to start with, and then he takes it somewhere else. So really enjoyed that. Hopefully this means there's a new album on the way from him soon as well. My final choice and the absolute standout this month is an artist I've recommended to you all before. Wolf is the new single from Lion, and it's another belter. Her voice is amazing, but it isn't just the power that she so clearly has that impresses me. In the chorus of this song, you can hear real pain and anguish. Maybe it's just me, but I think this is fantastic. So I'm eagerly anticipating her debut album. Anyway, thanks for listening to my ramblings, and keep rocking the suburbs every day.
Okay, and before we play some of Steven's picks here, he did send another file after the tragic death of David Berman,
yes.
Purple Mountains and Silver Jews. So let me play that real quickly.
Hi, Jim and Patrick. It's Stephen Routledge here, of course, calling back in from Scotland with a quick update and addendum to my July new music that I submitted last week. Today's the 8th, so I woke up this morning to hear that David Berman had died overnight. And given that I'd mentioned Purple Mountains as one of my selections, and obviously Patrick had just chosen a different track off the same album in his new music for July as well, just wanted to quickly call in and just sort of pay tribute to him and to mention that. Really, it seems such a sad loss, especially when he's got a really good new album just come out. And I commented on Facebook when we was talking about that earlier today, that it reminds me how I felt when Mark Lingwall of Sparkle Horse died. There's a lot of similarities in their art, really. They both created beautiful and a lot of the times on the surface very sad music that I would find extremely uplifting. Yeah, it makes you almost question yourself a little bit, as if to, you know, I do like sad songs. I always said that sad songs are the best. They're the ones that can often find can cheer me up, but it does make you wonder about taking enjoyment from this art that's maybe come from quite a dark place. Anyway, I just wanted to comment on it. I don't know if you'll be able to add this onto the July new music. And so rest in power, David, and thanks for the music.
Okay, there we go. Thanks again for...
Thank you so much, Stephen.
Calling in, Stephen. So yes, obviously he sent the first audio file before hearing about, or before David Berman died. And same thing with us. We did a show where we talked about this new record before that. And I think actually that episode posted the day of the news.
I think it was
the day
or the next day that the news came out.
Yeah. So any thoughts on David Berman at all?
Well, I agree with what Steven said. I think that there is a hope and something uplifting in his music, despite the fact that it's coming from an extremely down and out place. David drew strength from dealing with his depression and his pain. And, you know, he had a really difficult relationship with his father, who you may or may not know was a high-powered lobbyist for the tobacco industry, among other things. And David had, you know, really struggled with that as part of his life. He always struggled with depression and substance abuse as well, you know, at times. Yet he never shied away from the fact that those things were in his life, and he tried to deal with them as head-on as possible. And I think that's where some of the pathos and some of the sadness and some of the part of your life where you're just so down that you can't help but laugh at the things that are actually happening to you. And if you listen to a lot of his lines, you know, that's what they are. I mean, a song that I absolutely love is a song called Suffering Jukebox, where he is writing about, you know, the fact that he's sitting in a bar and drinking doubles and driving the daylight and the dollars away, but he's sort of sympathizing with the fact that this little jukebox is over there in the corner and he can't hear it. It can't be turned up loud. You know, he's sympathizing with this, you know, thing that's trying to get this message across of music. And that's kind of the way I saw his life. But, you know, like Steven said, it was so sad, I think doubly sad, because not only did he leave the earth far too soon, but he just had this new album come out and he had a tour planned, and, you know, he was going to be in DC and all kinds of things. You know, we're looking like, wow, this might be another chapter that you would never expect. But maybe that's, you know, maybe that's appropriate for David Berman, you know, somebody who's just pulling something out all the time that you never expected. I mean, it seemed like he had retired altogether, then he was back, and then, you know, it really is kind of a tragic end. Yeah. So I do hope he's resting wherever he is, because I know he had a troubled existence and was always struggling with a lot of things in his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say quickly, I did have the chance to speak briefly with David Malitz from the Washington Post, who had recently done a long interview with David. And, you know, he's hoping to compile a lot of the research he's done and things he had into something for about David's life, which I think would be highly appropriate and really needed. So I hope he does that.
Okay. All right. Rest in power.
Rest in power, David Berman.
Let's get to the other new music picks that Stephen had. Let's kind of run through those real quickly here. So we're going to start with Killswitch Engage. Mm-hmm. This song is called I Am Broken Too. Good melodic song, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, really cool tune. Steven mentioned in there in his call that I just want to clear something up for our listeners, that the band's former singer Howard Jones is, you know, had appeared and apparently is going to make appearance on this new album. I just want to say it's not that Howard Jones.
No, of course not.
It's a different guy.
Of course not. That would be interesting. Wouldn't collaboration.
It? Yeah. Because there is that one Howard Jones song that I really love. It's such an earworm song and it's kind of a perfect pop tune. And of course, the title is slipping away from me right now, but I'll get it. Give me 1 second.
All right.
I also want to say I did see Killswitch Engage once on an Ozfest show that I was reviewing, and I really quite enjoyed them. They're real powerful and cool American, kind of a heavy rock band that a lot of people don't really realize is American.
I mean, well, I know.
Yeah.
That's right. They have a sound that sounds British or something, right?
It kind of does, and their influences are kind of like that new wave of British heavy metal that we had spoken about, guys.
Well, their bio, I like this, says that they climbed out of snowy, industrialized Western Massachusetts.
There you go.
Yeah.
Trying to make it seem as much like Sheffield as you possibly can.
They've been around for almost 20 years.
It's amazing. You know that? Yeah. They formed right around the turn of the 21st century, so that's pretty cool. You know, it's kind of neat to realize that a band like that is still going and, you know, is still cranking. So that's cool.
All right. Next up is a band called Soft Cavalry. Mm-hmm. The song is called Velvet Fog, and we're going to pick it up sort of in the middle here.
You feel the same, like you've been born.
There you go, the Soft Cavalry.
Hmm.
And this, as he mentioned, this is a debut album, but yeah. But looking here, so it's the work of Rachel Goswell. She mm-hmm. was in Slow Dive.
Oh, okay.
And her husband, Steve Clark, who, according to this bio, he was a tour manager, I guess, for Slow Dive when they met.
Oh, how interesting.
But he obviously has musical chops, too, and so this is their new project.
Mm.
Yeah.
Big and expansive, and I could see. Did Steven mention My Morning Jacket in reference to them? So I could definitely hear a little bit of that working in there. But large, expansive, a lot going on. It seems like something you need to kind of let wash over you.
Yeah, I like that quite a bit.
Yeah,
I
like the name.
Check out that record. So
I like the name too, Soft Cavalry.
It's Soft Cavalry, and it's self-titled album. So check that out. All right, now. Oh, Josh Rouse. We love Josh Rouse.
Yeah, sure do.
I did not know he had a new single out.
Neither did I.
It's called I Miss You. All right, here we go.
You were always on my mind. Why is it every time I hear that song, I wanna curl up in a ball and cry? Now it's coming through the speakers while I'm waiting here in this line. And the girl behind the counter says she sees it in my eyes, that you are always on my mind. Up on my feet in a beat up pair of shoes, move to a different street with a different attitude. I miss you. Reach out and I'll be there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great stuff. I mean,
he has such a gift, doesn't he?
He really does.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, like, I don't know if you've ever had a friend like this. Maybe you don't see him for a while, but you see him again and you just pick right back up where you left off. Like, no need for any intermediacy or getting familiar. It's just like same inside jokes, same stuff. That's what Josh Rouse kind of feels like. If I had friends, I'm sure I would have one like that, but I've heard there are people like that.
I like, too, that the song references another song.
Yeah, that's very cool.
That's an interesting topic. Maybe we should explore it sometime.
Really, yeah, that's great. That's very interesting. It happens a lot. It's really clever, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I like that. Because then again, it's sort of you share that same experience with the friend like you're talking about.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love those little things that are left in a song or put in a song on purpose.
It also, a thing I love about his sound is it reminds me in a good way of 70s AM radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the best of that. Like he exists on some radio station that never existed, but we wish it did, you know?
Exactly,
That's what it is.
That's well said. Yeah.
Love it. Okay. And then, there's one more he mentioned. He said actually this was his favorite of the month. The artist is called Lion.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard from Lion before on Steven's Picks back on episode 625. I looked it up from not long ago.
So. No. The song is called Wolf.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
I held your hand and I let it go in the water. And
start. Better stop pretending I need your cover. Will we ever know if it's now or never? And it's fine to put my hands up and surrender. Free from it sink below.
There you go, Lion.
Interesting.
And the song is Wolf, and it's hard to find, so maybe that makes it even better.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was a real roaring section there that I didn't really kind of expect. It kind of came out in the chorus. That was kind of intense.
I'm picturing a guy in Scotland driving really fast and having this song on the car stereo and like sort of screaming at the top of his lungs with the windows rolled down when it gets to that chorus, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I can see it.
Yes. Yep. All right, so I want to, again, thank you, Stephen Routledge, for providing us with new music picks. And why don't we play out with his Purple Mountains pick?
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good. And before we do, I just want to tidy up that piece of business. This Howard Jones song I was thinking of is called No One Is to Blame.
Oh, yeah.
Off his Dream Into Action album from 1985.
I'm surprised you like
that
song.
I love that tune.
Song.
Yeah.
Do you know, but you know why I'm surprised you like that song?
Uh-uh.
Well, maybe I shouldn't tell you. It might ruin the song for you.
It might, yeah. Okay, is there some hidden meaning that I don't know about?
No,
okay.
It's not that. It's about it's about somebody who plays on that song
you
don't like.
Don't tell me.
I'm not
going
to tell you. Okay,
I don't want to know.
All right, let's move on. this is...
I think it's too
late. So if anybody wants to tell us about new music that you've discovered, you can email rock@suburbspod.com, where you can just, you know, type a normal email as anyone would, or in this case, like Steven, he actually records himself talking and sends it to us as a,
which is cool too.
Like an MP3 file.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that. Or you can, if you want to just call and talk and leave a message on our phone line, that number is 612-440-1984. All right. So thanks very much. And here is David Berman as Purple Mountains singing Margaritas at the Mall. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Anyway, I think that is enough from me now, becoming the British EPJ at this rate. On that note, it was great to get a mention from the man himself on his most recent Unfiltered episode. I really felt like I must have arrived now, to EPJ has given me a name check.